En route to Portugal, Pope Benedict spoke of the crisis battering the church involving the sexual abuse of children by clerics. Speaking to reporters on board his plane, the Pope said that today we see in a truly terrifying way that the greatest persecution of the church does not come from outside enemies, but is born of sin within the church. He said the church needs to profoundly relearn penitence, accept purification, learn forgiveness, but also justice. Miguel Morgado is a political scientist who teaches at the Catholic University in Lisbon. I spoke to him about his reaction to the Pope's remarks on the abuse crisis.
Well, as you know, there is a huge pressure coming from the media concerning the question of sexual abuse inside the church. So those declarations don't surprise me at all, because Pope Benedict has been one of the most concerned with all this question. He has done more than anyone else to try to solve this, and he's trying to engage the outside community in confronting this problem. So I guess his diagnosis is very correct. The fact that priests and the members of the church are men, and man is always hostage to the temptation of sin, and sin is always the enemy. So those are the declarations don't surprise me at all. It's very coherent with all that the Pope has been saying all this time. And it's very important that the Pope continues to confront the problem and to engage the outside community talking on those terms.
This papal visit coincides, of course, with Europe's spreading, some might even say worsening, financial crisis, you know, particularly when we look at Greece. And Portugal is already the poorest country in Western Europe. How has this crisis been hurting the population? Can you give us some examples?
Well, Portugal has been going through the last 10 years of deep economic problems. On top of that came the world financial crisis that made everything worse. And now we have a very serious, even dramatic financial crisis that is affecting really hard the economy. So unemployment is rising, poverty is rising, and even immigration is rising. We have a lot of people, of young people, both well-qualified and less skilled people, going outside the country and going abroad, trying to find other opportunities for their way of living. So Portugal is going through right now a very serious economic context.
José Empiche agrees with Mercado about the gravity of the current economic situation in Portugal.
Well, the crisis is affecting the population mainly through its loss of purchasing power. And this is in part also coming from the unemployment, because unemployment is currently going up every month, even if it's not as bad as the one they have next door in Spain.
And if we look at the issue of poverty, I read that in terms of the take-home pay packet by the worker, the number of low earners has apparently doubled since 2006. So this must mean there are a lot of new poor people who are really struggling to arrive at the end of the month.
Of course, yes. And the end of the month, as we say here, arrives earlier and earlier during the month.
As Morgado goes on to say, Portugal seems to be teetering on the verge of a total financial collapse.
Portugal is always on the edge of the abyss when we talk about economics and financial problems. We have lots of difficulty in balancing our accounts, but also Portugal is going through a very serious spiritual crisis. There is this process of loss of confidence among people. People are beginning to lose trust among one another, and combining the material crisis with the spiritual crisis, what we have to say about Portuguese society is not very pleasant right now.
You talked there about that spiritual crisis, and in fact, our figures show that although nearly 90% of the Portuguese are Catholics, only around 20% of them describe themselves as practicing Catholics. Is secularization quickening its pace in Portugal? And what are the reasons for this?
Well, Portugal went through a process of secularization that was very, very fast, at least in comparison with other countries. Well, I confirmed those figures that you presented. Practicing Catholics are now not a tiny minority, but still a minority. It's very difficult to point to precise causes of all this phenomenon, but Right now, we also have interesting movements within the church that are trying very hard to bring young people to the Catholic faith, and some of those movements are very successful. So on the one hand, you have an aging population of mass-going Catholics, but on the other, you have also a part of Portuguese youth that is very engaged in the life of the church. So we can say that we have a difficult situation here, but not a desperate one.
So you're saying perhaps secularization is greatest among, should we say, the people, young adults or the middle-aged?
Well, yes, because, you see, we had here in the mid-70s the Democratic Revolution, which had, for a few years at least, a socialist and atheistic tendency. So a lot of people who lived in that period were subjected to a very hostile environment against the church and religion in general. And the forces of secularization are still very strong. They are very dominant in the mass media community and even in our political elite, still very oriented towards strong secularized society. And that creates problems in everyday life for Catholics.
José Empiche also spoke about the growth of secularization within Portugal.
Well, I would say that secularization happened in the past, after the revolution mainly, I would say, and that now the practicing Catholics are really more strongly practicing Catholics than they would have been in the past, and that they are conscious of what has happened in the, secularization. We had a problem with vocations, and I think it's getting better. I think people have retrenched to their own fields. And, of course, there's still this large mass of people who are non-practicing Catholics. I mean, they get the entry visa with baptism and then don't practice the religion. But this probably has always been like that.
In addition to the Mass in Fatima, another keenly awaited encounter on Thursday is the Pope's meeting with social workers. But how important is the role of the Catholic Church in trying to alleviate poverty and social injustice within Portugal? José Empiche again.
It is important, not only the Caritas, which is very important and is organizing food distribution, but also something we call the Food Bank, which is an initiative which is not germane to the Catholic Church, but includes people that kind of persuasion, and which is organizing the distribution of food donations, mainly coming, I would say, from distribution, but also from direct donations by people who are shopping. Once a month or once every 3 months, they organize a collection of edible goods, mainly in little plastic bags, which they distribute to people, to anyone entering a supermarket.
And what about other social aid programs that are run either by Caritas or other church-sponsored organizations? Are they present throughout the country?
Yes, they are. We have the Misericordias, which is all over the country and which provides help to people who need it, a form of food and even shelter.
As you know, Pope Benedict is scheduled to meet social workers from all over Portugal on Thursday in Fatima. How significant do you see this encounter, and what message do you think they will be hoping to hear from the Pope?
I think it will be very significant, and I think that the message will be mainly of encouragement for what they're doing and hope in the future.
I was speaking there to José Empiche, a retired university professor from Lisbon, and earlier you heard the voice of Miguel Morgado, a political scientist at the Catholic University of Portugal.